He who knows your dreams knows you better than your closest friend. He reads the longings in your heart, and he is with you now, as always. Children gone again? Are they back at the McMasters? Have you ever asked that question? Or are you by any chance as bad as the McMasters? Is it your house in the neighborhood where the kids all congregate, motivated by some hidden attraction that defies all analysis? There's one of them you'll find in every neighborhood. When someone asks, "The children?" "At the McMasters," you'll probably say, "It's the red brick house, down a piece and round the corner. The one with the wide front porch. That's where the kids all play." Why at the McMasters? Well, as to that, who really and truly knows? Unless it's possible that a house can exude a friendly air. No matter what kind of a game they happen to be pursuing, the children from this street and that and goodness knows all where will come flocking in scattered bunches, dragging their battered toys. It's those McMaster kids. That's what you're inclined to think. But wait a second. There are kids in the Johnson family, too, as well as in the Nolans and Browns and Joneses. Is that the link? The Johnsons, Browns, and Nolans are at McMaster's, true, on the porch rail or in the yard, and in a wink, you'll find the Saronsky Towheads have joined the freckled crew. But even when the young McMasters aren't around the place, there's someone skating earnestly across the McMaster walk, and on the porch steps, concentrating in a deep, dark study, a diminutive curly head, jam-smeared, is building things of blocks, while another, a blue-eyed picture of Mrs. Brown, is perched on a stool in the McMaster's kitchen, where she talks and talks and talks. But oh, don't mistake me and start to thinking Mrs. Mack's not firm. Oh, gracious, no. She'll shoo the kids away just like she would her own. In fact, she scolds them when they misbehave, like their parents would. And truth to tell, and I'm not tattling because it's generally known, that many's the time that Mrs. Mack, before her dinner is served, has suggested downright pointedly that the company set out for home. And yet, like bees drawn to flowers rich and full with honey, the children seem attracted to the McMaster fold. It must be that, for man alive, you can't find them around. It's like hunting a needle in the haystack. And there's no use to scold. They'll gather on McMaster's porch until the cows come home. From Jack in high school to Saronsky's youngest, who's only a baby 3 years old. As for the neighbors, well, anyone who is anybody knows that neighbors follow the kids' example in about everything they do. So naturally, they too think of the McMaster domicile as headquarters day and night for the whole caboodle-doodle-doo. That's why they stop to chat with Mrs. Max so often. Hot off the wire, her last-minute news keeps them geared to the whole dang crew. Now, I know what you're going to say to all these shenanigans. That it's tough poor Mrs. McMaster's has to be put out that way, what with the kids parked on her porch or playing on her lawn, clear up to the bedtime hour from the beginning of the day. But here's my answer. If Mrs. McMaster didn't like having that noise around, wouldn't the kids know? I'm afraid they would, or they wouldn't stick around to play. Yes, I suppose there's a McMaster's home in every neighborhood. A home where the curtains aren't too crisp and white, and the front steps always look sort of unswept, and the porch furniture covers always have that jaded look, as though they've absorbed so many human characteristics that they can never be chipper and fresh again. A home, in short, where the neighborhood kids are attracted as surely as the compass is attracted to the North Pole. There's such a house in every neighborhood. There's bound to be. I've never seen a neighborhood without one. In fact, with a sort of nostalgic tug somewhere in the region where the heart's supposed to be located, I remember a home just like the McMaster's. It was the house I grew up in as a boy. As far as the McMasters are concerned, they remind us of a little old lady we know. One of those wonderful people who make you feel relaxed and warm and good all over. She lives in a suburb near the city, yet all the world is knocked at her door. The poor for comfort, the rich for a smile, and the weary for someone to ease their chore. She knows all about human weakness and strength, and her heart is open to women and men. Her eyes have looked deep into the well of life and have come up shining again and again. She has dignity and poise and womanly grace, grown out of the long years left behind. But she's not all sweetness and light, not she. She has the fighting spirit of 79. Her fingers are busy around the house. Her industry shows in preserves or a quilt. When consolation is needed at the bed of the sick, she'll stand by with unflinching courage and will. Yet with it all, her eyes are dancing and merry, quick with the humor, delightfully rich. For out of the salt and the iron of living, she's gathered her roses of laughter and wit. We need women like these in this world of ours. Strong-thinking women. The salt of the earth. Women with character. Who know how to give. Who make the days richer because of their worth. Behind many a community and many a church, we'll find such a person. A compassionate woman. And because of her love and the way that she works, she's made us look for the angel concealed in each human. Yes, some people wear well. The more we see of them, the more we like to see them. Is that because they look for something good and fine in us? Perhaps. There's something good in everyone if you just look for it. Something great and noble. Something generous and fine. For man, after all, was drawn on a glorious blueprint, patterned by our Creator, whose inscription was divine. There may be streaks of cruelty tinged with the ugly dyes, selfishness impregnating the soul cast in the heavenly glow, but underneath the turgid surface, like a broad stream running, is the wonderful beauty of life, unsullied in everyone we know. Now, until the next time we meet, this is your Dreamweaver saying goodbye and reminding you, the more pleasant we make things for others, the more pleasant we make them for ourselves.